a citizen of heaven.
Yeah.
Okay. We've had people from other countries, so we should pray we have that again at some point, because it's good to be international. So second question then, any native level speakers of another language?
Labour.
Your native speaker of?
Oh, Labour.
Okay. Any other linguists among us? Go on, educators, give us another language. Okay, which is, what do you call it? Just Nigerian or?
The common one is Pidgin English.
Common one.
Which is a broken English.
Okay. Maybe we'll get to hear a bit of that later today. We'll see. Okay, so I was going to say let's get started, but I need to give you a public health warning first. My daughter Emma has just had her first driving lesson on the road. Before we left the house, the driving instructor came and they both went out to the car and Emma got in the passenger seat.
Not a good start.
And off they drove. I didn't get to see them when they came back. But do you think Emma was still in the passenger seat? Because it's quite scary to let somebody else drive, isn't it? So sometimes, because I work in training, sometimes you get people who instruct and they keep saying, do it like this, and they never let the other person have a go. Because it's quite a challenge sometimes to let somebody take the steering wheel and the pedals. So there you go, you've been warned. My daughter is now on the roads. And I want to value each of your lives.
Martin, Jack is on the road as well.
Excuse me. So we have another working on the roads and the pavement.
Well, she's planning to be on the roads, but who knows where she'll end up. So that's not entirely irrelevant to what I want to say. But let's open our Bibles at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and I'm going to read for you from verse 12. And it goes like this. It says, the human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some of us are Gentile. Some of us are slaves, some are free. But we've all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. Yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. If the foot says, I'm not a part of the body because I'm not a hand, that does not make it any less part of the body. And if the ear says, I'm not part of the body because I'm not an eye, would that make it any less part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? Or if the whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each of us just where he wants us. How strange a body would it be if we had only one part? Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. And I'm just going to jump on and read to you verse 27, which says this. All of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. Okay, so that's a little discussion on feeding together. But when you're stood up at the front, you can feel a little lonely. So I brought a friend with me. And this friend... Can you imagine John standing here doing this?
I wouldn't admit my own if my friend was a paid piece.
Yes. This is my friend. Because he helps us know how God created us. How did God create us? Well, we read in Genesis chapter 1 about God creating the earth and then creating man. And when he created us, he made us perfect. Okay? I'm not sure if you think of my man here as perfect, my friend here as perfect, but this is my representation of perfect. He made us to have relationships. So here, he's not wearing a funny hat. It's my little arrow on his head to say that he made man to have a relationship with God, hence the arrow on the top. And he didn't only make man to have a relationship with God, he made man to have perfect relationships with each other. Okay? I know it seems simple, it's going to get more complicated in a moment, so enjoy this. God made us perfect, he made us to have a perfect relationship with him, and he made us to have a perfect relationship with each other. That's how it starts. Perfect. Except we then mess up. So we read about how we sin. And when we sin, it breaks our relationship with God. So we lose that ability to relate to God. And not only does it damage or break our relationship with God, it also breaks our relationship with each other. So however well we relate to other people now, it's not as well as God intended. Our relationships with each other are broken. Perfect relationship with God, perfect relationship with each other. But our sin, the stuff we've done wrong in our lives, the way we've rejected God, has damaged those relationships. So that's my introduction. That's how it started. And that's where we're at. Unless we can fix it. So I need your help, because I've wrecked my friend. So I want to make another friend. Here's one I prepared earlier. Except he's not very well prepared. So is anybody good with scissors? Okay, my friend is somewhat unfinished. So if anybody wants to have a go afterwards, you can come up here and have a go with blindfolds and so on. Because this works well when you've experienced it for yourself. So, having got that far, and this is why I cleared the dance floor, so you've got some space in the middle that you all want to see it. Because sometimes church is a little bit of a spectator sport, isn't it? It's a bit like going to a theatre where we sit in the seats and we just watch what goes on at the front. But the church as a body is about all of us. And it's about Jesus not just being in the driver's seat, but putting us in the seat as his body. Where he's directing us, but we're actually the people who act out things for him. So we'll come back to that thought. But first, I've got some easy questions. Okay? Easy questions go like this. Who was the most important person in that little exercise? The instructor. Okay. Okay. Any other answers? Okay.
They were all important because you couldn't have done it without any of them.
Oh, we have a dissenter now. So we've got the instructor over there, and we've got somebody else saying they're all important.
The person holding it.
Person holding it was the most important.
Yes. You're going to trust everybody else doing their job.
Okay, and Daniel found that quite hard, didn't you, to trust them. So I guess I should ask the other question then. Who was the least important?
The one in danger of having
the finger cut off. The one in, so if the people who were holding it let go, what would have happened? We couldn't have done it without them either, could we?
They're all equally important.
So we needed all of them. Mm-hmm. So who was the most important, who was the least important? Yeah. Well, if by least you mean you don't need them, then we needed all of them. So we couldn't have done without any single one of them. Right, so we had different volunteers coming up and doing things. Were some people better at their job than others?
No, not really.
You reckon they all did their job equally well?
Yes.
Equally badly. Or equally badly?
I didn't say that, but
Daniel had a challenge, didn't you, to trust people?
Yeah.
So at that point, he wasn't doing his job very well because he put his hands away. But then again, some people, when they were talking, got more trust than others. So some people were better at being hands than other people. Some people were better at getting trust from people. And actually, some of the explanations were easier, weren't they? I mean, it was a bit of fun, but I tried to have a go at us learning Nigerian, and the words didn't even come out. Some people are better at some tasks than other people are. How important was communication? It kind of was, wasn't it?
Right.
Yes.
Because we had instruction in giving us the direction.
Yeah.
And end of cutting off our hands and fingers.
Yeah, we had some great lines, didn't we?
Yeah.
This is harder than it looked. just move the scissors. go right. Who? Who are you talking to? understanding what's going on, and even the trust came from understanding what was going on, didn't it? So if there was no communication, people really struggled. So my question to you is about first the relationships that we have. If God made us perfect, and we've already had the Bible verses that said it was God who made each one of us, you, each of you, and even me, are God's work of art. We are purposefully and wonderfully made. Okay, whether you're feeling lonely or friendless, you are perfectly and wonderfully made. And you were made to have a relationship with God, and you are made to have a good relationship, a perfect relationship with other people. So when we come to church, most of us look a bit more like this than that. And salvation is about what Jesus did for us, that we can be restored to have the relationship with God and the relationship with each other. Okay? How important is communication in that relationship? Well, because of sin, you're stuck, unable to relate to God. Salvation, what Jesus did for us on the cross, connects us back to God. It makes that relationship possible. And yet, half the time, we just ignore God and live without connecting with Him. He wants to use us as His body. You think of that driving instructor with my daughter. If his objective this afternoon was to get from my house to here and back quickly, do you think he would have wanted my daughter driving? And yet God says, I want to show my love to this world. I want to show my love to people in this world who don't know it. And so he cracks open the clouds and he says, I love you. With a strike of lightning and then enveloping people with trees. Something dramatic so they'd have to know he's there. Is that how he does it? No. He says, I want to use my body. I want to use my people. The people that I've restored to have a relationship with me, I want to use them as my body to show my love to others, that they also can connect again with me. I think he could do it quicker without me. But he chooses to use me and you as his body to show his love to other people. Does that mean we're all the same? No. He's gifted us differently. That's what the passage is about. Does that mean that some people are his very best disciples and the ones he always wants at the front of the team? No, because he's given us different gifts and he draws us all in so that our gifting can be used. We are all essential to some part of his plan in reaching others. If you're listening, if you're trusting, and if you're taking time to give yourself what God wants to use you for. That's my challenge to you from this passage. We are the body of Christ, all different parts. Some people might seem like they're really busy and doing all the talking, but they're actually really dependent on somebody else putting their hand out and holding things for God to move in that situation. So what we need to be doing is listening to what God says to us. And the place we start is by reconnecting with God because of what Jesus did for each one of us. Let's pray together. Father, I want to thank you for each person here. And sometimes we find ourselves easy to love. Sometimes we trust ourselves in different situations. Sometimes we find it harder. But our starting point is actually you. And our starting point is the amazing thought that you have trusted us. You've shown your love to us and you want to use us. Father, I pray that each one of us would know that, and that we would know the joy that comes by the trust that you've put in us, and that we would be willing to listen to your voice. Father, thank you that our relationship with you can be restored, that our relationship with others can be restored. And thank you for using us to do that in other people's lives. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.